I would like to thank the choir and the handbell ringers and Catherine. Thank you very much for the lovely music and the messages in song this morning. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, reading verses 10 through 13. As we think today about the ministry of the Word. Several weeks ago, even before we had set a date for our recognition today, I had chosen this passage. And when I mentioned to Dr. Devaney that this was the passage for the day a couple of weeks ago, he said, well, that happens to be one of my favorites. So it all works out. Even when we stumble along. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We gather this morning for a variety of reasons, individually and collectively. Some are here because we are honoring the long and faithful service of Dr. Devaney, and we dare not forget his bride, Kay, for all of these years, and for the sacrifices that they have made and that their families have made. And we will be honored as well in doing this. Some are here because you don't feel that it's right missing church on Sunday. A feeling brought on by years of upbringing and inbringing. There might even be a few who are here to be seen or to see certain people. Sometimes that does happen. Yet the true reason for gathering is to be a part of the ministry of the Word of God. A vital part of God's life, both in and through the world. God's desire for all of us, for you and for me, and for those outside of this place as well. So what do we mean when we speak of the ministry of the Word, since most people think of preachers when you mention the ministry of the Word? One of the first things that we see when we think of the ministry of the Word and when we look at the biblical text, in particular this passage, and we could go to others as well, is the potency and the existence of the Word when spoken from God. That Word has an existence in and of itself and carries potency or power even as it is read or as it is spoken. Of course, we all know about the destructiveness of misspoken words. How terrible they can be and what a terrible destruction can be worked. Perhaps we have even experienced that firsthand. But that is not what is emphasized in this passage today. The author of this section of Isaiah uses a very long simile in verse 10 to remind people that God has a life on this earth and God provides for the life of this earth as well. In fact, if you reread this particular simile, you will find it is reminiscent of the account of creation that we read in Genesis 1:1 to 2:4a. God has given an orderly process by which to sustain physical life on the earth. There are evidences of this all around us every day. But it is more than that, because we also see in that account and in the long simile used here in verse 10, evidence of the purpose of God, a loving purpose, a caring purpose, a purpose that serves. The author then continues this analogy when he speaks of the power of God's plans for our overall well-being, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally as well. In other words, the scope of the world and the scope of God's power in the world and in the Word that is read and given is cosmic. It is universal. It is not just for a select few. But the scope of that Word and that ministry of God's Word is universal for all. As the writer continues to speak of the Word that proceeds from God, he draws upon the ancient concepts of power of words and substance once they are uttered. The belief was that just as an arrow, once it leaves a bowstring, cannot be pulled back, but it goes and it does the work for which it was sent, even if fired at the wrong target. The spoken word does the same. Think back to the Jacob and Esau and Isaac saga. And you know how Esau goes out to hunt game shortly before Isaac dies, so that Isaac can bless him, can give him a word of blessing, asking that God bless him as well. In the meantime, Isaac comes in disguised, and he gets the blessing. When Esau comes back, and he and Isaac realize that Jacob has come in and gotten that blessing from Isaac, Esau says, "Well, do you not have a blessing for me?" And Isaac says, "Well, I've already spoken the blessing, and even though it's given to the wrong one, it goes." And he does give a blessing to Esau, but not a very pleasant one. The spoken word actually began working its power as it left the lips, whether the lips of God or human lips. When God speaks, we find Him saying God speaks with intention. Once spoken, God's Word doesn't miss the target, but becomes effective for redeeming and for guiding. But let me quickly state, this doesn't make a statement of predeterminism. The Word spoken can also be deflected. Deflected by our free will as human beings, to hear or not, to follow or not. But the word spoken will reach the target, bearing its promise of redemption. We should also remember that the word from God has a life, a purpose, and a ministry. With God, there is no separation between matter and spirit. Word and work are one and the same. Remember when you used to shake a man's hand and take him on his word? Because word and work are the same. The word that accomplishes God's thoughts and desires has inherent power to bear fruit, to accomplish what God would have accomplished. We see this in the understanding that God speaks, "Let there be light," and light appears. And God's promises are identical with the very essence of the being of God. This is the basis for the certainty of the divine promise of one who will be born and be known as God with us. The Word made flesh, Jesus of Nazareth. But it is additionally the basis for assurances that the Word of God accomplishes guidance and life even within the world today. Our Christian hopes are not self-born. Our Christian hopes come from heaven, fulfilling God's purpose as God speaks in and through us. But you know, the Word has to be fleshed out as we live our lives. We can't just speak it. It must be lived. If the Word of God truly ministers as we are told, it cannot return to God empty and lifeless, any more than the rain can go back to the sky before it hits the ground and accomplishes its purpose on the earth. I know somebody's going to say, oh, but hailstones are rain that come down and go back up and down and back up and freak, but they eventually fall to the earth and accomplish a purpose. As the rain helps to produce food for physical life, the Word of God provides food for the spiritual and the emotional lives of persons, not just people, but persons, individuals, who then band together collectively. This gives us pause as we reflect on how the words are administered to us and through us. The Word itself is a messenger of God that is sometimes given through earthly messengers, who, though we may sometimes confuse it, will not confound it or keep it from accomplishing its purpose because we are imperfect messengers. The Word of God still comes through. Of course, the world is full of thorn bushes and briars as well. The earth will clap and sing forth, but not without some difficulties. And the ministry of the Word properly applied should help to overcome the fields of briars and thorns. Although in most churches there are still thorny places, and occasionally we are briars. But the concept here is of a wilderness where there is chaos, there are thorns and briars and weeds that try to choke out the good, just as sin chokes out the Spirit in humans. But through the ministry of the Word from God, that desolate world or life can be transformed. Transformed with luxuriant trees of cypress and myrtle. Trees that provide shade and beauty and comfort in times of distress. The pest plants are not gotten rid of in this vision. The pest plants are changed. They are changed into strong, productive, shade-providing trees. The cypress was often used in shipbuilding for its strength. And the myrtle branches were used to cover the tops of the booths at the Feast of Booths. The proper ministry of the Word fulfills God's effective Word, as we are led and cared for by God, and as we lead and care for on behalf of God. This helps transform pest trees, even the briars and the thorns, into strong, productive persons. Some see the human ministry of the Word as something of privilege, and in some ways, it is, though probably not like many of us think. The right ministry of the Word is not to bring privilege and mastery over others. As God ministers in the humbleness of Jesus the Christ, human ministers of the Word are to do so in humbleness, knowing that it is a privilege to be used by God's Spirit. Now, there are those who use ministry as a means of escape or a way of overcoming inadequacy. I will never forget one time at a campus ministries meeting at Anderson College, a local minister had been invited by the president to speak. And as he was there, someone asked him about his call to ministry, and he began to launch into a horrible childhood. A childhood in which he was made to feel less than human many times. And he said, "So eventually, I was drawn to ministry where I get a sense of integrity. And people look up to me rather than looking down like they used to." For him, it seemed to be an escape. A way to overcome feelings of inadequacy. But if anything would ever make you feel inadequate, I think it is daring to carry the responsibility of ministry of the Word. A responsibility that is both exhilarating at times, but most of the time very demanding. Among the demands are caring for the hurting, leading even in uncertainties, and constantly studying the words from God in order to carry a word on behalf of God and others. This church has had some good examples of those who take those demands seriously. Today, we thank God for one such person, one who not only took those demands seriously, but continues to do so. Dr. Thomas A. DeVinney takes the ministry of the Word first as a calling for all Christians, but more seriously as a particular calling in his personal life. It is one which involves a lifelong study. He continues to study and write because he knows that the ministry of the Word demands study. It is one that involves lifelong relationships with God and with persons, many of whom are sitting here this morning. Not all of whom have always followed God or His advice. But the ministry of the Word is not about only being there for the faithful. It involves being like the cypress and the myrtle, providing shade from the heat of daily living, comfort for the afflicted, strength for the weak, and sometimes, beside that, even being the thorn to challenge the too comfortable. And we find this is the ongoing ministry of the Word through Dr. DeVinney and through his life in this community of faith and in the community at large. For we also are grateful to and honor his family, his bride, Kay, who has given and given and continues to give her love and support, not just to him, but in her life to the community as well, and to their children, and to their grandchildren. And we also honor and thank you for all the times that you wondered, "Where's Dad?" And you knew he was out somewhere speaking with someone, helping someone, doing ministry of various types, even in a fishing boat or on the bank with his fly rod. That taught you a work ethic and a ministry even in your own lives in so many different areas. Realizing that ministry is not just about standing behind a pulpit desk or directing music or working with youth and children or playing an instrument or singing in the choir. All of those things are part of ministry, but so is going to work every day and living that example and that challenge that comes from the ministry of the Word. So as we honor you all today, and especially as we honor Dr. Devinney, we need to remember that the ministry of the Word of Hope from God is not just for vocational clergy. It is part of the calling of all of God's people, the ministry to which we are all challenged, and which will, when we do it together and with God, will be a memorial for the Lord, an everlasting sign of God's righteous activity in the world, which will never return empty and fruitless and void, but which is the source of life everlasting. Amen. At this time, I would like to ask Ann Payden to come. Ann is our current chair of deacons, and Ann wants to share some words with us today. And then we will call Dr. Devinney and his bride, Kay, up here. Ann?
I just want to speak for the congregation today. I can't say enough, I know, for each person here. And many of you are like me, were raised by the Devinneys in this church. And there's not enough that we can say about how blessed we were to have them here in this church for 35 years. And since they've retired, they've continued to be part of our family and part of our Christian support in this community. You raised us in the faith. You modeled charity and peace and love. And you guided us in our spiritual journeys. You've put up with generations of us as we grew and learned and changed. And some of us were pretty challenging throughout the years. I'm not going to name any names. You baptized us. You married us. You buried us. And in many ways, we are what we are today because of you and your influence, your honest and caring and compassionate love. We're honored today to bestow Pastor Emeritus status on such a fine family. And we pray that we will honor you in the future as we move forward in our service to the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. I know there could be, we would be here for several days if we allowed everyone who would wish to speak to do so. But Ann wanted, and we wanted to have Ann speak on behalf of the church. And many, many of you could tell stories, some of which Dr. Devinney might want us to hear and others he might not. But that's okay too. Because as you have found with him, he is a human minister of the Word of God. And he doesn't hide it. And we, all of us, should never hide that. Otherwise, we could not minister with human beings. I'd like to ask Dr. Vinny and Kay if they would come and join me here. And I would ask you to find the brief litany that we have as a handout in the bulletin, in which we will share in a moment. We never, trust me, you never, ever only honor the pastor. Because were it not for that pastor's spouse, you would not have the person whole, but only a part. And you would only have a part of the ministry. And so we come at this time. We come to this moment today to both honor and be honored. We honor Dr. Thomas A. DeVinney, who served so faithfully and admirably for 35 years as pastor of First Baptist Church of Piedmont. Each one is aware of the love, guidance, and care he has given to the people of this community of faith. We also are honored by his presence and the participation of his family in the life of the church, both in the past and even today, as we bestow upon him the status of Pastor Emeritus of First Baptist Church. We actually are recognizing the call of God on Dr. DeVinney's life, pledging our further commitment to live after the principles which God taught us through him. For the call to ministry which you placed upon the life of Dr. Thomas A. DeVinney. For his commitment to preparation for ministry.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For the ministry of the Word through insightful teaching and preaching which challenged the mind as well as the spirit.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For friendship as well as pastoral leadership.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For the willingness of family to share him with us.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
In recognition of countless things done in ministry for and with the people of First Baptist Church, we bestow upon Dr. Thomas A. DeVinney the status of Pastor Emeritus, and we further pledge to continue to uphold him to God in our thoughts and in our prayers. We so pledge. Thank you. We have just a brief other presentation to make. A small token, something, no chance to have to put more holes in the wall, but something that we hope will be meaningful to you and will find a place perhaps on your desk or on your shelf. This is a crystal award with etched in it a silver cross. And it reads, in grateful appreciation for 35 years of Christian ministry, guidance, and love, the First Baptist Church of Piedmont bestows upon Dr. Thomas A. DeVinney the status of Pastor Emeritus, October 9, 2005, Piedmont, South Carolina. Thank you for all of your friendship and for all that you mean in this community and will continue. We look forward to continuing a long time with your life and Kay's life in this community.
Let me say a word.
That's up to you. If you'd like, you may.
I sort of feel like hearing all those good words about me, like the funeral where the widow punched her little boy and said, "Get up there and see if that's your daddy he's talking about." My good friend and pastor, David Anderson, my pastor when I was growing up, David Anderson, expressed to me after I had left, which must have been his amazement as well as that of my youth leaders, as they all believed, he said, when you were under them in Sunday school, that you'd never amount to anything. And I replied, well, they were probably right. I am what I am. I am a one called to preach, and that has shaped my life and continues to shape my life. But I want to say a word of appreciation to this church. You enabled me by granting me the freedom to a much wider ministry than most have ever enjoyed. I was able to minister to the military for 25 of my years here. I was able to minister to the young people in the college communities at Furman and at Anderson by teaching courses. I was able to minister in the mental health area on a volunteer basis. Just whatever I did, I always think the church deserves the credit, for they gave me the freedom, they supported me in the endeavor, and I appreciate it. I want to thank God for calling me to the ministry of the Word. I want to thank Him for the churches that I served, particularly for this congregation. It was a privilege. It was a joy. I want to thank you for your support in the raising of my family, for your love and goodness. If I gave anything, I received much more in abundance. I was thinking last night when I woke up in the middle of the night about a poem, I think, by Christine Rossetti. To love someone more dearly every day, to help a wandering child to find its way, to ponder o'er a noble thought and pray, this is my task. To follow truth as blind men long for light, to do my best from dawn of day till night, to keep my heart fit for His holy sight, this is my task. And by my Savior meet, when time has made my task on earth complete, to lay my homage at my Master's feet, this crowns my task. Thank you for this honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Kay. Let me give you this so that it doesn't... As we prepare to sing our hymn of decision, I would like to give the Devinis an opportunity, if they would, like all of them, to go over. You should be first in the food line as our guests. And I know people are going to want to speak with you, and so you have an opportunity to at least get a bite or two in before they do so. If you all would like to, during the closing hymn, go on over, and we will have our prayer for the food here as well. Or you can stay here. It's up to you. But if you all would like to, during our closing hymn, I would invite you to go ahead over, and we will be over to join you in a few moments. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 265. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. That power for you and for me is a power which allows us to minister the word in various ways, in different situations, to different people by the ways we live our lives. If you have never made a profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior and feel so led, our altar is open. If you would care to join with our fellowship as a place from which to minister, our altar is open. Hymn number 265, God of grace and God of glory.